again, everybody, to System Center Universe Asia Pacific 2015. This is our fourth year that we're running System Center Universe in Asia Pacific. And this System Center Universe has been around for roughly about 45 years. And System Center Universe is really all about the community. It's all about providing great content. It's all about sharing knowledge to everybody around certain content, around System Center, around Windows Server, and around Azure. So System Center Universe 2015 actually started in the US. So a couple of weeks ago, we had System Center Universe up in Dallas, Texas. So they started the year for System Center Universe up there. And we are here today for the next 2 days for System Center Universe Asia Pacific. And after this, in August, if you still want to learn some more, you can go to Switzerland. And we will have System Center Universe up there in Switzerland. So it's a really nice country to have a System Center Universe. And they will have another 3 days of great content with great speakers as well from all over the world. I'm really glad to be able to be here today because we've had so much support from so many different experts and speakers from around the world. So you will be able to learn, we will be able to get information and get sharing and tips from all of these speakers as you see up here. We have speakers that came from Europe, from Belgium, from Holland, from Germany, right? From the US, from Australia, and also people, our experts that are close to us, from Singapore, from Malaysia, from Sri Lanka, and so on. So it's really, really great to be able to have this this set of speakers here in System Center Universe. The closest that I've ever had the opportunity to hear these speakers was in a conference called the Microsoft Management Summit. That was always only available in Las Vegas, USA, in the past. Well, we don't have MMS anymore, but the closest is Microsoft TechEd, which this year it's called Microsoft Ignite. And this is the closest that we've ever had to be able to mingle with these speakers. So it's really, really great to have them here with us in these 2 days. So once again, thank you so much for the sponsors. Without the sponsors, we all will not be able to have these speakers and we will not be able to be here. So from our main sponsors to our platinum sponsors, to our gold sponsors and also our silver sponsors. So thank you so much for them to be here today to support this great event. Now, so what do you expect? What are we expecting from System Center Universe? So System Center Universe, as I mentioned, brings you really great content. A lot of content around System Center, a lot of content around Windows Server. There's two tracks that's happening at the same time. So if one doesn't fancy you, there's always another one to go to. Around Microsoft Azure and also around Windows in general. All right? So expect to have a lot of learnings and content around these areas. All right? Now, before I invite the next speaker up, so what we wanted to do in the next in the keynote this morning is kind of wrap you around what you saw in this technologies that I presented earlier. So we wanted to present the Microsoft cloud platform solution. We wanted to share with you how these things come together, and then you can take that and go to the relevant sessions to see basically how detailed it can go into. And you know, in the sessions that if you've noticed in the agenda, there's some sneak previews, and there's some next generation stuff that will be coming, right? And who better than to have with me on stage than the next couple of speakers that will be showing you. So up next, I want to invite up Mr. Vasily Malinin, who is the APAC Data Center Lead for Microsoft.
Hey, Vasily. Thank you, Raymond. Thank you so much. So kudos to Raymond and Infron team for organizing this great event, and thanks a lot for coming. Really appreciate that. And Raymond asked me to share Microsoft's strategy around cloud platform. And well, definitely want to do that. I decided also to give one more spin to this talk that I'm going to have around syncing up with you on what's the strategic value for you investing time and money to be here. I think it's very aligned with Microsoft's strategy as well. So To start, I wanted to go through some mega trends that we see in the industry, and I'm pretty sure that everyone of you experience like every day and every hour at home and at work. First, it's a devices thing. Now it's, I think just a couple of years, no one could have imagined that we would have 5.2 billion mobile users. And 30% of those people, of mobile users, are using smartphones. That's just the tip of an iceberg. Because when we think about broader things story, not just smartphones or mobile phones, but broader things story, Morgan Stanley says that there are around 75 billion devices and things that are connected now. And this is gonna grow to 212 billion by the year of 2020, according to IDC predictions. So it's massive amount of things, connected things, the things that we don't even imagine can be connected. And those things and devices, they certainly use apps, from the coffee maker to smartphones. They all need some apps. And you know, if you look at the marketplaces, apps marketplaces, there are more than a million of apps, and they're growing, and they're producing huge amount of data. Again, coming back to IDC predictions, there will be 40 zettabytes of data generated by 2020. And what's interesting that 90% of the data is not structured. So it's something that we need to process using the big data approaches. And data applications, things, it all relies on the IT infrastructure that has to support it. So servers, networks, storage, we need to run it, we need to have it somewhere. So just to give you a hint of scale of the infrastructure that runs the internet and runs the cloud, Microsoft has one of the largest cloud infrastructure across the world, and we have something more than 1 million servers running right now in this instant. More than 1 million physical servers. And this all made possible because of the cloud. Like cloud connects everything. Cloud is a blood system for all the devices, apps, data, and for all the development that we're gonna see in the next few years. You know, we've been thinking a lot, what's the place for Microsoft in this world, having all those trends in the industry. And we distilled that down to a simple mission, a simple statement of what we do. We focus on building a platform, productivity in apps that empower everyone to do more and to achieve more. So that's a very simple statement that tells you what Microsoft does now. And we have an unparalleled set of platform apps and productivity solutions. Like no one in the industry can have, you know, the same. People can have amazing platform. They can have some business apps or productivity, but no one has them all together. So we have this. And my next slide was about differentiation, competitive differentiation of Microsoft. And you know, I thought that, hey, it's gonna be too formal. This IT pro, IT specialist, like exciting conference. I talk about this marketing thing. And I was looking at it in a little bit different angle. I was looking at the why Microsoft statements or bullets. I understood that it's not just Microsoft competitive differentiation. It's yours competitive differentiation. Just let me explain. So let's pick just one of this. Global scale. So you know Microsoft. You can work with the Microsoft tools. You have experience. And from this conference, you will learn some new things that you can do with Azure with our tools. So you'll be able to spin up the VM in seconds with Azure. It means that you're master of those 1 million servers that we have across the globe. So you can put that in your resume, that you can run the infrastructure, you can deploy your systems and make them available in any point around the globe. So you are having a global scale. Now, enterprise grade. I'm pretty sure that we have a lot of representatives of big companies. They already know that our Microsoft solutions can scale. Like every year, they're actually getting better and more scalable and more powerful, have more performance. So again, enterprise grade, if you work with Microsoft, you can do the deployments, you can do the run the infrastructure and write the apps for the largest enterprise companies. Hybrid cloud. You know, I'm pretty sure that everyone is familiar with Windows Server, knows how to administer it. You can learn how to use Azure and extend your skills to Azure just in minutes. Because it shares a lot of things with on-premise experience. So you can put, after this conference, you can put that you're a hybrid cloud expert. People-centered experiences. It's so easy now to extend Active Directory to the cloud, to all the apps, to all the devices. I actually use some of the Active Directory components from the cloud to manage my family access to some cloud apps. So manage the passwords, manage the access, multi-factor auth, etc. So it's so simple. It's so people-centric. And your customers, your consumers, your users, I don't know how to call them now because they're all in one now. So the guys that you interact every day in your office, they will be happy with that because it's very user-friendly. So you are a people-centric person. And definitely it's comprehensive. Whatever you want to do, from big data to Internet of Things to cloud, you'll find something. And you can reuse some of the skills that you already have. So you do not have to learn completely new from scratch. You can extend the knowledge that you have. Let me tell you my story. So these are the pillars of what we call cloud platform, so what we ship within our products and services. I started my professional career as a high-performance computing expert, and things like Hadoop, big data was very familiar to me. But that time I thought that, oh, it's so complex. You need clusters. You need, you know, some grid systems to deploy that stuff. Now it's like easy. I have that in my Azure account. Like I can create a cluster in my Azure account like in seconds. Transform the data center. Then I switched to data center building, you know, maintaining the infrastructure. Now then I chose a business career. And anyway, now I know that in, you know, quite short period of time, I can run infrastructure for a small or medium-sized company within the cloud or extend it to the assets that we have on premise, for instance. Now I'm I already told you about my mobility interest with some Active Directory in the cloud experiments. Now I extended and experimenting with the Internet of Things stuff, like Raspberry Pi, Arduino, I'm prototyping some stuff for my smart house. And it's all, like everything that I mentioned, it's all available within one company's approach, within one portal, which is Azure portal. So it's exciting. It's very personal to me, the story of these five pillars. And it should be very personal to you because you're here, you're Microsoft experts, you're gonna learn. This is your competitive differentiation. Now, I think the company is an opportunity for you to learn, opportunity for you to start changing. You know, if today or tomorrow you'll be able to use enterprise mobility, for your company or for your own interest, it gives you up some points. But when we talk about larger companies, there should be some compelling event that drives the change. Now, I wanted to prepare you for. I'm pretty sure that you're all familiar with that sound, at least those of you who activated sound subsystem in your server. So this is a welcome and exit sound for Windows Server 2003. I think this gives a very compelling event for the companies to actually start transforming. As you know, Windows Server 2003 goes out of support on July 14th, 2015. We've been talking about that for quite some time, and I feel that this migration is one of the most prepared transitions that we had in Microsoft, compared to all what we have before that. And it gives the opportunity to embrace all those cloud and new products innovations that we have. So this is something that you can explore, you can take for your company and lead the change. We'll have some conversation around Windows Server 2003 and the support, and please feel free to talk to the experts, ask your questions about the apps, about the tools that you can use for the transition. We'll be happy to answer. But generally, I think we are prepared and we are well equipped to help you. And the tools that we provide and you will learn about today, they actually can ignite the company that you work for to be more innovative, to be more productive, and also to achieve more. So with this, I want to hand over the presenter to Raymond. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. So thank you so much, Vasily, for sharing the Microsoft Cloud Platform vision and what's coming up next as well. Now, next up, I wanted to bring another speaker up on stage. And how many of us have installed and tried Windows 10 already? Okay. So how many of us have heard about Windows 10?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. So I'm assuming the rest of us don't use Windows. Okay, so I want to bring up on stage Xiaoping, and he's the principal consultant for Infront Consulting, and he says, Raymond, I have no slides, I'm just gonna show off. All right. So he's gonna show off some cool stuff around Windows Next Gen and also management of devices. So welcome up, Xiaoping.
Thank you. Oh, that's a tough act to follow, right? All no slides and stuff. All right, so I generally don't have any slides, and hopefully this puts up soon. Yeah, here you go. So how many in the audience uses Windows 10 so far? Are you guys using the latest build, 9926? Okay, you all have a problem every time it comes back from standby, it doesn't just comes out of the display yet? Okay, just give me a sec. Sorry about that. So let me give a bit of a brief introduction while the machine's rebooting itself again. Sorry about that. So of course, when you get the final product, when Microsoft releases its Windows 10 this year based on public announcement so far, you will not get this problem. And I am projecting. Here you go. Am I projecting? Number one. Yeah. There you go. Cool. Okay, so you actually gonna be seeing me re-log on everything again. Okay. SCU. Let's close that. Okay, I'm actually gonna log on to Windows Azure. Gonna log on Intune. And the Microsoft Office portal, and we're going to go manage Windows Azure. Here we go, all three up and running. Gonna do a demonstration here, and Heidi, here we go. Okay, just going to close that for a minute. Okay, so I have exactly 10 minutes. Apologize for the slight interruption of the display adapter, and that's generally in the 9926 build. When you get the next build, which is going to be released, don't know when, you shouldn't have that bug anymore. So again, I just need 10 minutes of your time. So purely demo, ladies and gentlemen, there will not be any slides. Everything I'm going to pack is actually a 4 hours preparation to do this, and it's going to be packed in 10 minutes. So the first thing I'm going to show you is Windows 10. And one of the things that we generally in Windows 10 is you when you first get it, and you see a start menu, there you go. Remember the old start menu that you all always been wanted? So Microsoft has been listening to customers, and they're bringing back the start menu again, right? So they've incorporated, if you notice here, the live tiles, or what they used to be called modern apps or metro apps, into the live start menu as well. So you can actually maximize this, minimize this, and the lifestyle still, the information from a lifestyle still continues to flow through. So that's one of the key features that Windows 10 brings back, which is the start menu, right? Which everyone's familiar with, and the power options, right? You can sleep, shut down, and so forth as well. If you notice in Windows 8, right? Remember, see my finger, right? I'm swiping from the right, and I'm swiping to the left. Remember the old charm bar? The charm bar is no longer there, right? So everyone was like very confused. I remember when we first did an application compatibility for one of the few banks in Malaysia as well, and we were like, how do I access my start menu, right? So the charm bar is actually gone. What is replaced with it is actually a central notification hub. Now, one thing cool about a central notification hub is you can actually expand, or it gives you the top 4 things that you use. You can adjust the display, you can connect Wi-Fi, so you can actually change this, resort this, any way you want. You want to put in Wi-Fi to a later one, you can do that. You can do rotation lock on above. So this is something that came about very, very quickly from the Microsoft team based on feedbacks from consumers. Right? Now, one of the cool parts about Notification Hub is this Notification Hub exists in all the Microsoft application ecosystem. So imagine today, if you get a notification from Outlook, right, and you swipe and you dismiss it, it also dismisses it across every other platform. So it's not necessary you need to have a single operating system for your devices or your PCs, notebook, laptop, for a notification hub to work across all devices, right? So this is something new for Microsoft. One of the other things I'll show you is that's coming in Windows 10 is Cortana. Has anyone had the chance to play with Cortana? No? One? A few? Okay. Do you all know that Cortana recently they've updated it and released the SDK and APIs where you could literally use Cortana's voice and the algorithm of machine learning, just plugging in your database and she will actually use your database. So anyone watch Interstellar before? No? Still? No? Okay. After this, hopefully Interstellar movies gets a high download from Netflix or wherever in Singapore, or right? So one thing in Interstellar, they had an AI, and the actor could basically tell the AI, tone down your jokes by 70%. So that's something that you can do in through the API and SDK. But out of the box, let me just show you what Cortana can do, right? So Cortana basically, so I've called myself Ben to Cortana. In actually, one of the studios that I always go around is Ben the IT guy. So one of the things that Cortana has done is look through all the latest information that I've always been browsing, minus the desk, latest on Microsoft, the stocks that I've always been monitoring, and some recommendation on, because I like to discover new places to eat. So one of the cool things about Cortana would be, for example, okay, do I need the umbrella today? Right?
I'm not entirely certain.
Okay.
Here's the forecast.
So for some of you who have never seen Cortana, here, this is what she can do. So let me just, I have about 8 more minutes, I think. Set alarm for 5 minutes, Cortana.
I'm sorry, I can't do this for you right now.
Okay.
So check back again after future updates.
Ah, no problem. So the update for the Windows 10 build is not there because the alarm is not there, but I can actually use it on my phone, which already has it. Set alarm for 5 minutes. Okay.
Sure, I've set an alarm for 10:07 a.m.
Thank you. So she's going to ping us when my presentation is overdue, right? So one of the other things that Cortana can do is, for example, Cortana, tell me a joke. I forgot to press the mic button because I didn't put the hey Cortana. Tell me a joke.
What do you call two crows on a branch? Attempted murder.
Anyone guess the joke? No? Okay. So these are some of the things that you can actually do. And you notice, right, I'm Asian, right? I'm not pro-Western, and my slang is probably with a bit of Asian slur and stuff. And she actually recognizes it as well. So one of the things that you can actually do to, for example, is cool part. Cortana, make an impersonation. Let's see whether she can do that.
Banana!
Yeah. Okay. Tell us about yourself. Yeah.
I'm Cortana.
Yeah.
I help you get things done. And when you tell me the things that interest you, I put them in my notebook so I can make suggestions and keep you up to date.
Interesting, right? Eye of Singapore. I don't know. Do you guys call it Eye of Singapore?
Are you now?
Oh, sorry. No, that's a bad joke. All right, let's try a different one. How many kilometers are there in 120 miles? Is it? There we go. Oh, she does a Bing search instead. So, okay. So in case the things that she can't figure out on the spot, she will actually do a Bing search. Let's try another one. How tall is the Space Needle?
605 feet.
Okay. So you can actually do equations as well. For example, Fahrenheit. What's negative 40 Fahrenheit in Celsius? There you go.
Minus 40 Celsius.
Okay. Is that right? Maybe not. Okay. So that's a little bit about Cortana. So what do you all think about it? So one of the things that Microsoft is doing and touching based on Vasily's presentation is about Internet of Things, right? So all this is actually streaming live through the internet in very small chunks of bytes, or data bytes, right? And it's actually quite spontaneous if you notice that. It's all just through a normal Wi-Fi connection or I'm actually plugged in and stuff, right? So that's basically the general gist of Windows 10. One of the things I want to share with you in terms of Windows 10 is, so I've been, previously I was in Microsoft, I've been application compatibility tester and helping customers to move up the chain, especially for financial services. A lot of times we always hear customers say that application compatibility. To be really honest, a lot of them don't really do the application compatibility. They just assume, they just install once and oh, it doesn't work. After you do the next, or the installation breaks. But in generally, if you actually do the full cycle of application compatibility, next, try, test, shim a little bit of DL, check where exactly which is it, it actually all works. So for a lot of us in the tech industry, right, and especially for us, we'll always be on the forefront of the next cutting edge of the beta builds, right? Whether it's Windows 10, we actually have the next version of Windows 10 as well. You know, and we will always find a way it works, and generally, from Windows 8 onwards, it generally just works. You just need to tweak it a little bit, right? So just be aware of that. The next presentation I want to show you is actually Azure AD Premium. So I actually have three technologies to cover in now less than 3 minutes, right? So one of the things that I want to show you about Windows Azure Active Directory is, if you actually integrate the hybrid approach of Active Directory to your current Active Directory, these are the things that you can actually get. Reports. You can actually, for example, detect sign-ins to your Active Directory from unknown sources. Unknown sources will basically mean like when someone is masking your IP internally. Now, that's something that usually an SIEM tool will be able to do it. Today, you can actually do it through Azure Active Directory. The other one would be multiple failures or multiple geographies. Now, I actually had a screenshot that we had to actually purposely do a hacker test, for example. Okay. So for example, I did a screenshot, and this was a bit from last year. So if you notice, it will actually, I'm actually overrunning. Here you go. I have an alarm system, the alarm's pinging here. So if you notice, the first sign-in was in France, and the second sign-in was in Netherlands. And you look at the timestamp, the time in between the sign-ins was about 1 minute 49 seconds, right? Now, unless, and this was using the username Heidi, unless Heidi had a time travel machine that we weren't aware of, or quantum portal wormhole that connect between Paris and Netherlands, even gives you an estimated time of travel, it should be about 2 hours. So there's no way Heidi could have made that jump within 1 minute, right? Now, this tool is a really good way to detect people from the future. Is actually here in the present moment? No, just kidding. Okay, no. So one of the other things that Azure Active Directory can do is to detect whether or not when the users log on to Active Directory is registered through an affected devices, and that's through a Windows Intune compatibility. So these are some of the additional stuff that you can get out of your Active Directory out of the box, right? Today on-premise. You could probably script it, but imagine the amount of coding that you have to do, geographical locations, detect IP range, get the whole entire database from the whole entire worldwide world, compare internet database, and this is out of the box from Azure Active Directory if you do just a simple integration. A lot of organizations will have that fear about, oh, should I put my read-only Active Directory in the cloud? You don't really need to, you can actually do a read-only. So more information at the booth. The next demo I want to show you is, So remember I said Heidi couldn't possibly be in two different locations, right, for example, right? So what we can do is, from the screen itself, from the admin console, we can actually enable this thing called multi-factor authentication. How many of y'all are familiar with RSA tokens? RSA tokens? Okay. So out of the box today, Azure provides the equivalent of RSA, if not better, right? So RSA tokens are also basically called multi-factor authentication, or the whole domain knowledge is called multi-factor. I've actually enabled Heidi to have multi-factor authentication, and I'm actually going to log on as her right now. Okay. There you go. Now, what happens is because Heidi was enabled with multi-factor authentication, it's actually going to call her handphone. I've actually configured it to come to this phone. There you go. I'm getting a call. Oh, sorry. I accidentally silenced it. Okay. Can I put it on speakerphone?
Thank you for using Microsoft's sign-in verification system. Please press the pound key to finish your verification. If you do not initiate this...
Sorry.
Your account has been verified.
So I'm assuming I'm Heidi and been verified. There you go. I'm logged on. Now, Microsoft Multi-Factor Authentication just doesn't do voice call. It does SMS, it does tokens, it does a few other things. There's even an application where you can actually prompt out and say that somebody's accessing your account. Is it you? Confirm, verify, deny, so on and so forth, right? The last one I want to show you is, so Ben the IT guy has sent a protected file. I wanted to show you. If you notice, so in Azure EMS, in Enterprise Mobility Suite, in Azure Active Directory, you can actually now encrypt any file, right? How many of you are familiar with RMS, Rights Management Services? Okay, oh, a few of you. So what Microsoft Rights Management Services is basically like a data leakage protection, right? So today, in the past, RMS could only do Microsoft products. Today, Microsoft extended it to any file extension. So what I've done is, I've actually encrypted an MP4 file. I've sent it across to Heidi, right? And Heidi has received it. So the cool part about this extra presentation is I'm going to extend this further to the mobile devices that we all are so familiar with today. Okay? So, for example, close that. Go to Heidi. So Heidi receives the file, right, for example. And I've already downloaded it in advance. Now, the RMS app is also available across iOS and Android today. I can actually open it. Now it's going to say deny. I don't have permissions to it, right? So this is what you can do. Now I'm going to open it using another credential. The ones that, so we're very set up for our organization. I'm actually going to go ahead and open this up. So this is like a secret secret file. Is, if you notice, it's confidential view only. So when I actually click OK, it will actually search for the next best app within the iPad system to open a file. Okay. So what you can see today is some early releases of Spartan. Spartan is actually the code name for the next browser from Microsoft when Windows 10 launches. All right, here you go. And I can actually now view it.
Bromwin Beta, and welcome back to another video.
Okay.
Now today we're taking a closer look at Cortana. Up her sidebar again and give you details about the South Lake Union.
So that was just a demonstration of how RMS works on the iPad, right? So actually, to be honest, the video has already been leaked to the internet. So one of the other things I want to show you is how RMS works, right? And if you notice just now, right, you need permissions, right? Now, in the event, there's always a genius in the crowd or somebody who says, so what happens if I took a picture, right? So one of the things that advances in RMS has been, if you did take a picture and, okay, so there's a lot of MVPs in the audience as well as outside the booth and stuff. MVPs have direct access to product groups, right? Every time a product group sends us something, it's actually RMS encrypted. And that's very, very, and this is what happens when you actually take a screenshot, right? So I'm just going to zoom in because there are certain roadmaps in the future you shouldn't be seeing, but if you notice, on the screen, you don't see anything, but when you actually take a snapshot through your phone, there's something happening in the background. It's called steganography, right? It's actually watermarking the whole entire picture. And this doesn't come out on the screen when you see it live. It only comes up when you take a photo. Now, advances in steganography has changed a little bit. You can actually, if you remember ASCII codes, you can actually ASCII codes the whole entire picture to the point where it's unreadable, even with a Photoshop. Taking a snapshot. So that's basically 4 hours of presentation, demo, configuration. That's done in hopefully in 10 minutes. We have more to show you in the booth. Feel free to come by. I can actually show you a lot more. We can actually show you Cortana talking to me through the phone just now as well, instead of all this. With that, I hope you enjoy the rest of the today's sessions. Thank you.
Thank you, Xiaoping. Now, so that's kind of a sneak preview of what to expect within Windows 10, Windows and some of the newer technologies that's coming. So next up, I want to bring up on stage a guy that you've probably seen on the internet quite a lot. Not the kind of sites we're talking about. But if you have ever been to Microsoft Virtual Academy, you've probably seen this man right here, right? So Simon Perryman used to be the guy in Microsoft Virtual Academy, and he's now the VP Business Development and Marketing for Five9 Software. Over to you, Simon.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, and thanks for having me here at System Center Universe. You know, one of the things I really like about this conference is the fact that you guys have a great opportunity to really interact with some of the top speakers here and some of the top influencers. And so I really want to encourage you to take advantage of that. Now, I've spoken at about 50 conferences in the last 2 or 3 years, and System Center Universe, it's always one of my favorite. And the reason for that is the passion that the people here have, right? You go to a big Microsoft conference, the speakers there get forced to speak by their boss. They don't really want to be there sometimes, but when you come to an event like this that's driven by the community, everyone has so much passion that it's really a great opportunity for you to learn. And one thing I really want to encourage you to do is come interact with us. Give us your feedback. And don't just tell us the things that work well. Tell us the things that don't work. Tell us how we can build you better solutions, how we could go change products, work with Microsoft, work with partners to deliver new technologies, new services. We genuinely want to hear about your problems because we want to make change. We want to make things better for you. Now, the big advantage of Microsoft here, and one of the reasons why you guys are probably invested in this, is our whole efforts around trying to have a consistent platform across these three different clouds. When we think about consistency, we want to think about this for all of the consumers of IT resources inside your company. Now, we got to meet, my team, when I was back with Microsoft a couple months ago, we got to sit down with Satya Nadella, the new CEO. And he said one thing that was really, really enlightening to me. He said, every single company in the world is becoming a software company. Now, think about that. If you're traditionally working in an industry like a bank, or even a restaurant, these now have these requirements to have IT services. I don't go to my bank anymore. I do everything online. These traditional physical stores, retailers, they now have to support all of these online services. If any of you are working for a company that's over 15, 20 years old, they've probably had that type of change as well. And so you need to start thinking about that. Everyone is now moving to software. Repetitive tasks done by humans are now being automated. And so we want the ability to go and support that so that your customers stay happy, you stay competitive. And so we need to make that easier for all of our internal teams as well. Give you the ability to use the cloud when you need it, to scale out, to do backup, disaster recovery, things like that. And so for our developers, they can write an application now, and they don't really need to think about whether it runs on-premise or whether it runs in a public cloud. It behaves the same way no matter which cloud it's running on. Your database administrators can build SQL databases across these different clouds. Identities shared across these different clouds, as you saw with our last demo here, where it doesn't really matter where that service or application is running, you get that same consistent experience. And then for all of our IT pros out there, with consistent management and virtualization, you run those same VMs and applications across these different platforms. It behaves the same way every time. And this is a key advantage that we have over competitors. VMware has a great private cloud story. They don't do a whole lot in the public cloud yet. Amazon Web Services, great public cloud story. Don't really do anything on-premise yet. Yeah, Microsoft has this ability to span over that and offer that consistency. So this is why we want you to continue to invest in this platform here. Now, being able to have this massive public cloud that has billions of transactions a day gives us a huge advantage when we're now trying to give you your own on-premise infrastructure with Windows Server. What we now do is anything that we're actually putting inside Windows Server in our next version, it's being tested in Microsoft Azure. When the next version of Windows Server and System Center comes out, you're not really getting things that are brand new. You're actually getting applications that have been running for 1 year, 3 years, even 5 years, tested at massive scale, so that you can have some confidence that when you start to deploy it, it really is ready for the enterprise. At the same time, when we're doing development for Windows Server, we take those products, those best practices, feedback from our customers and our administrators, and make the changes back up in Azure. And so we really do try to embrace this as a continual cycle. Things go on the public cloud, back to the private cloud, back and forth. Now, within Microsoft, all of the engineering teams now, they have to complete this massive checklist before a product's release called the Common Engineering Criteria. It's about 200 pages long, very, very detailed, making sure you support IPv4, IPv6, Active Directory. There's two key requirements there that are important, though. First, everything has to run in a virtualized environment and be tested in Hyper-V. Nothing will ship if it doesn't work in Hyper-V anymore. Secondly, every different feature has to be considered how we can connect it up to the cloud. And so over time, you're going to see us move to this cloud platform. And for me, the best way I like to think about the cloud platform, it's this convergence of Windows Server plus System Center plus Azure. Tying these together, embracing new scenarios, opening up new ways to do business. Now, for our next release of Windows Server at System Center, there's been six key investment areas. Focusing on the platform with compute, network, and storage, focusing on the workloads that run on top of them, and then creating these new scenarios around service delivery and business continuity. Now, I have a couple other sessions later this week, and we're actually going to go into some detail across all of these, so I encourage you to check that out if you want to learn a little more about what's coming next. But as we started to think about the design for the next version of Windows Server, we wanted to think about building consistency from what we've done up in Azure. And so we like to think about managing our data across these three different planes. You have the data plane. That's where the actual information gets stored, passed around. We have the management plane at the top, which is how you actually go and interact with it. And then we have the control plane, which sits in the middle. This does automation, best practices, and business logic. Now, many of you are familiar with virtualization, right? This has been around for a while. So if you kind of think about how virtual machines run, you can interact with them different ways through the management planes. The failover cluster is the brains of the operation, giving you high availability and mobility. And then the data itself is the virtual machines. Now, our big investment here is around transforming all types of applications towards software, creating a software-defined data center. So we next start to think about software-defined networking. In the next version of Windows Server, we're introducing a brand new role known as the network controller role. It's a centralized software-defined network management solution. It includes everything like IP address management, DNS routing. It also provides things like virtualized network functions, so virtualized firewalls, new virtualized load balancers. We also want to have that same level of consistency around software-defined storage, where we could take cheap commodity hardware, make it easy to manage, centrally manage it. And so this is kind of this big investment that we've tried to make across these three different solutions, all of it managed with Hyper-V, Windows Server, and System Center. Now, as we look at compute, the key investments that we really made here is delivering the highest scale possible. Hyper-V still supports the largest clusters, the most VMs per cluster, the greatest density in the industry. We've also improved our resiliency and high availability. 64-node physical clusters, 64-node virtual clusters. So you can get high availability not just for the VMs, but also those applications that run within the virtual machines. We now make it easy to go and upgrade to the next versions of Windows Server. You can have a cluster gradually upgrade one node at a time with zero downtime to the virtual machines that are running on top of it. So you can move your fabric to the next generation and the next generation. No downtime for your virtual machines, business services, and applications. As we invested in networking, we wanted to improve performance and reliability. So we've been working with lots of hardware vendors, taking advantage of the latest inventions in hardware-assisted virtualization, things like remote direct memory access, RDMA. We've also wanted to centralize that. I talked about this network controller role. This is going to give you the ability to go manage our entire network infrastructure from that single location. We're going to be providing these in-box virtual machines that have networking roles as well. Again, virtualized load balancers, virtualized firewalls, virtualized gateways. And then we're going to make it easy to go connect your own data center up to a service provider or up to Microsoft's clouds as well. When we looked at storage, our biggest thing here was trying to reduce the costs. That's the biggest investment area that we wanted to make. Storage is expensive, and we realized that if you could just use commodity storage, Microsoft provides the centralized management interface, that can significantly reduce costs. No longer having to work with traditional storage vendors anymore. We want to be able to centrally manage that, so you're going to see a lot more enhancements around centralized storage management, easy to provision, easy to deploy. But the biggest investments, two of my new favorite features coming out in the next version, we're now going to be introducing in-box synchronous replication. So this means you can have two data centers, different storage at both locations, and we do synchronous replication. So if you have a disaster, zero data loss. Now this is also being enhanced with another big clustering technology. We can now do clusters with zero shared storage. You could take a three-node cluster. It has direct attached storage disks. We use storage spaces and replication to actually create a failover cluster. No data loss. Everything's replicated with zero need for shared storage. So again, trying to reduce those costs as well. And then as we continue to invest in other types of replication technology, connecting up to the public cloud, we're going to make things even easier. So when you need to expand your storage capacity, you could do that easily without having to go and buy new hardware. Now, a big investment in workloads has been around Linux virtual machines. You find a lot of government, a lot of education, a lot of healthcare people are investing in Linux because it's cheaper. But we really wanted to make that work just as well on Hyper-V as any other platform. So Microsoft hired about 24 of the top Linux developers and actually brought them to Microsoft. What we're now doing is we are checking code into the Linux kernel. It's being reviewed by the peer review board for Linux to ensure that Linux works well with Hyper-V. So this means when you deploy a new Linux virtual machine, it already knows it's running inside a VM. It has the integration services or integration components already installed. So we could do better memory management, live migration, support 64 virtual machines, 64 virtual processors. So again, continuing to invest in Linux, make it work just as well as our other infrastructure. Now, business continuity has been a big ask as well. You have this data, right? Your business runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't afford any downtime. Now, in the past couple of years, we always talked about trying to have high availability, right? 5 nines of availability was a goal. We could get past that. We can have zero downtime now. Many businesses are doing this through their business continuity because we're providing ongoing service continuity. Instead of just having a single virtual machine running an application, we have tiers of virtual machines. If you need to take one offline or do updates, you could do that with zero impact to the entire business. But disaster recovery became a big requirement as well. So with Azure Site Recovery, if you have multiple data centers, we will manage that replication across the site for you. Now last year, we also acquired a company known as InMage. With InMage, we can actually do replication of VMware virtual machines as well between two data centers. So we're really trying to embrace the heterogeneous data center here as well. But we realize a lot of customers only have one data center. Microsoft has a lot of data centers. So what we now can do is we can allow you to do disaster recovery from your data center up to Microsoft's public cloud or to a service provider. So you get even higher availability even if you have only one data center. And coming soon, we're going to allow you to do that with VMware infrastructure, where you will be able to do disaster recovery of your VMware virtual machines up to Azure. Coming very soon. So again, really trying to embrace that openness. But the other big change that we've heard from customers and from IT is that business demands are often changing. You know, a competitor just announces a new release. There's a new government law or regulation. Something suddenly changed in the economy. And so the business, it tends to be turbulent, and that's not good for IT, right? We want stability, we want consistency. So what we've really been focusing on a lot now is providing service delivery, making it easy for you to help the business. So when the business has a demand, they can meet their needs without disrupting the IT department too much. So we do this with Azure Pack. It's a self-service portal that looks just like Azure, but runs in your data center on your hardware. So you have your data center, your hardware, running Windows Server and System Center. We could provide the business with the ability to suddenly create a new VM or a database or manage security, where all the IT department has to do is set it up and let it run. This is this new model that we're trying to encourage our customers to embrace, offering different types of IT as a service. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at a demo of Azure Pack, and we'll see this in action. All right, so here I am taking a look at the Windows Azure Pack portal. Now, you guys saw the Azure demo earlier, right? It looks kind of like the same thing. Well, it isn't. This is Azure, but this is running in my own data center on my own hardware in my office. So we talked about that whole goal of consistency, right? The same way you can manage things, the same look and feel. This is Azure on my hardware. Now, I have the ability to do things that I could do just in Azure. If I want to go and create a new virtual machine, I can simply go select something from a gallery, see predefined images. I get to specify some parameters to customize it. So we'll call this SCU. APAC, provide passwords. Confirm the settings. connected to different networks. And what I've now been able to do is go and provision my own virtual machine in my own data center. So no dependency on Azure if I'm afraid to use that for different compliance or regulatory reasons. Yet I can still allow the business to be dynamic, make these changes, create new services whenever they need. Now the other big value of Azure Pack is this customization. It's extensible. We give people the ability to go and offer new types of services. So if you're a service provider, you can offer things like security as a service, database as a service, giving you the ability to go and protect different types of applications, different types of virtual machines. So for example, if I want to offer security as a service, oh, my VM's not created yet. Yep, there it is. So I could say, I want to go and protect my virtual machine. I could go add it to a security group, confirm the settings, and now my virtual machine has been protected. And this is a value-added service that you can offer as a service provider. Charge your tenant an extra $10 a month to go have this additional layer of protection. And from this, the tenants have the ability to go and manage their own security, provide customization, protect their applications, protect their security from theft, antivirus, anti-malware, intrusion detection, denial of service. But what you've seen here is kind of like what you have in Azure, right? The tenant experience. Here's the other side of Azure Pack. This is the administrator's portal. Now, if you use Microsoft Azure, you only get to be a tenant, right? You get to deploy things, but you don't manage that back-end infrastructure. When you use Azure Pack, you can now manage both sides of this. You can manage the tenants, and then you can manage the infrastructure. And so what we see here is the administrator's side of this, where you can see I have different options. I have the ability to create plans to allow people to subscribe. I can add new services and offer those services to my tenants. So now anyone that's part of the subscription plan, they could go and sign up for this. Now if we go take a look at all of our virtual machines over here, I can see a centralized view of all of these different tenants in my environment from a single location. So this is this power of service delivery with Azure Pack. You get to have the power of the cloud, but you also get that additional customization and control. And everything running in the background, built on top of System Center, built on top of Windows Server, the same things you're familiar with. So this is what we're really trying to encourage customers to do here. Move to this new model of offering IT as a service so that you can deal with that turbulent business request, yet keep your IT department happy, keep yourselves happy, so you get that nice level of consistency. Can we switch back to the slides, please? Thank you. So as I wrap that up here, hopefully you've seen some of the key investment areas Microsoft's making around our infrastructure with storage, compute, networking, with our workloads and applications, and then unlocking these new scenarios around business continuity and service delivery and automation. Microsoft really does have this best of both worlds platforms. Great public cloud offering, great private cloud offering. And you can now take advantage of that by building a single application, a single virtual machine, and run it on any single cloud that you need. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to Ray. Make sure you come check out these other sessions later today to go learn more about what's coming next with Windows Server and System Center.
Thank you so much, Simon.
Thank you.
So with that, that kind of kickstarts our whole two-day conference, and you'll be able to hear a lot more from what Simon has to say in his sessions and a lot more from the speakers that will be delivering their sessions in the next 2 days. So if this is your first time in System Center Universe, how do you keep the conference a success for you, and how do you invest your time in it? So obviously attend the sessions. We have really great speakers, as I keep on mentioning time and time again. Ask them questions. Some of them are first time here in Singapore, and we are hoping that they continue to stay for the next 364 days. Unfortunately, they won't. So leverage their time. Since they're here, ask them as many questions as you can. There's a lot of sponsor solutions. These sponsors make our event happen. There's something, there's an activity that's going on. So go get stamped. Well, not actually get stamped, but there's a card that you can fill up, and you basically get to win something at the end of the day. Now, we're trying something different here this year, and this is called the Cloud Architecture Arena. So we know that you know, from the keynote today and from the sessions that you're delivering, you may have some kind of idea on what you want to do, but you may need a little to spend a little bit of time with some of the experts. So at the Cloud Architecture Arena, which is just at the exhibition hall, there's four whiteboards. You can grab any one of us, any one of the speakers, there are experts there, and just do a whiteboarding session with you. Right? At the end of the day, tear the paper out, and you have the architecture plan for your journey into the cloud for you. Right? So you utilize that area that is powered by NetAssist. Evaluations gives us a good feedback on what works, what do you think that we do well, and what do you think we should improve. And as a reward, we're giving you a free draw to a prize as well. There will be an Ask the Expert session at the end of tomorrow. So we're gathering all the guys in one room so we can bombard them with all the difficult questions. And if you feel that you don't want to bombard them directly, you can bombard them through Twitter or Facebook, right? So post your questions up on Twitter, post your questions up on Facebook. Just make sure that you have the SCU APAC hashtag so we can pick it up. And lastly, it's going to be a long 2 days. You're going to have a long amount of knowledge that gets transferred into our heads. We must reward ourselves for that. So there will be a Galaxy cocktail on day two. So make sure we reward ourselves by having a drink tomorrow night, right? So with that, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to System Center Universe and have a great 2-day conference.